that'll be.
Yes, sir.
Being called up to meet the Lord in the air. You know, most television shows and movies and books, they show it from the perspective of the sinner. You know, when the rapture happens, destruction and all this. For once, I want a movie that shows the eyes through a saint. They'll be in church praising God, and then they'll be in heaven praising God.
For once,
I just want a movie like this. Amen. Well, praise God. Certainly an honor to be before you all in the house of God one more time. I want to thank God for being the head of my life. I want to thank God for salvation, having the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's not just something we say.
Right.
We have the gift that was promised by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, normally we have baptismal ceremonies where there is an individual, there's another human being that has baptized you in water in Jesus' name. But when it comes to the Holy Ghost, do you know that Jesus personally baptized you and I with his Spirit?
Right.
So that means if there was a heavenly certificate that was made, he'd have to sign it because he's the one that personally baptized you and me in his Spirit. Isn't that an honor? Amen. Certainly, just an honor to be before you all. And I want to thank God for our pastor, Suffragan Bishop, Johnny Magnus. Amen. I'm not going to say I was jealous of you all going, but I started watching and I started seeing pictures of my cousins in Ohio who went. I saw other preachers I used to fellowship, they went. And then I saw the pastor, he was posting he was posting videos of the sermons and everything. I was like, you know, man. I thank God for that goodness. I thank God that I wanted to be there, you know. And maybe, who knows, maybe one of these days, if the Lord permits, I'll be able to go to these conventions. But I just want to thank God for all that he's doing for this church. I also want to thank God for our First Lady.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, I want to thank God because we have an active First Lady. And yet they are powerful together, you know, as a pastor and First Lady, but they both have powerful ministries and they're very influential in the church. I want to thank God for both of them because not only are they, you know, they're leaders, not only is the pastor leader for me, but the First Lady is a leader. And I want to thank God for the leadership, which brings me to Sister Pope. I want to thank God for her and her absence. And, you know, she's always very impacted in a positive way by the sisters in Mount Calvary Miracle Temple. And I certainly want to thank God for her in her absence and also the kids in their absence this morning. And I want to thank God, as my dear brother always says, I want to thank God for all of you. I really do. Without you, I don't believe there would be me because of your prayers, because of your sacrifices, because of all that you do. You helped to build me up, and I helped to build you up, and I just want to thank God for his goodness today. Won't you bow your head with me in a word of prayer? Father, we want to come before you this afternoon, Lord, because we need something from you, Lord. We need to be fed this morning. We need to be fed. We don't want imitation food, Lord. There's enough of that around, Lord. We're not asking for fluff. We're not asking for substitute food this morning, Lord. We need something that will stick to our spiritual ribs this morning, Lord. Father, we need word and food from on high, from heaven. Feed us, Lord. Feed us, Lord. Feed us, Lord. We won't make it without your word. We won't make it, Lord, without your word. Help us, Lord, to endure. Help us, Lord, to grow. Help us to be strengthened. Help us, Lord, to be set free. In Jesus' name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I thank God for you. I have a confession to make. Normally, I don't know why the Lord always does this. Normally, when I preach, I'll study during the week. I'll study weeks in advance, months in advance. I'll study. But most of the time, on the day of, I have no message. I don't have a message. It is one of the scariest but yet glorious times in my life.
Right.
The flesh is scared to death.
All right.
If you've ever had to stand stand and give a speech to someone. If you got to stand and give a speech, let's go right.
Go ahead.
If you ever had to stand and give a message or a sermon before someone and not have anything, that is one of the scariest things. But I don't know how the Lord does it. I just know He does it. Automatically, sometimes at the timing, sometimes in the very same hour, the Lord will just put it right there, what the message is. And so my message today, the title of it is The Church Warriors. The Church Warriors. I just want to read to you. I didn't give this to Deacon Don, and I don't have this up. I just want to read to you because I think this is pretty good information. So I'm going to start off. We're going to talk about cultural things, and then we'll get into the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
So we'll talk about the silent generation. If you're not familiar with the silent generation, and by the way, this is taken from a website called parents.com and the Parenting Center. But the silent generation was born in the years of 1928 through 1945. So if you yourself was born through 1928 until 1945, I'm going to be giving descriptions or patterns. So I'm not describing the things you have to do. I'm just describing certain general patterns that people have seen concerning you and your age group. This might make a lot of sense to a lot of people. So we're talking about cultural things. The silent generation. The silent generation was born between 1928 and 1945. They famously got their name from being so conformist that they were silent through the McCarthy era when the fear of communism swept through the country. During this era, kids were expected to earn their way through life at using a strong work ethic. So if you've ever known somebody, you know, grandma, grandpa, whoever was born in this area, they normally will say things like, you need to do that yourself. Or they're really quiet. Whenever you ask them about what happened, they don't mention the Great Depression. They don't like talking about that. They don't like talking about the war and the things that they've been through that that World War II and things like that. They don't like talking necessarily about that. But they do have a strong work ethic. And so a lot of times they're quiet about their past because they've been through a tremendous deal.
Right.
Let's talk about the baby boom generation.
All right,
you boomers. Born from 1946 to 1964. Generation Z may think of baby boomers as their out-of-touch grandparents. But they had a wild youth we often don't talk about. Boomers are so named, I accidentally named World War II after the first generation, the silent ones. They were not so. It's the boomers. But they had a wild youth we often don't talk about. Boomers are so named after their parents. Oh, I was wrong. I was right the first time, Saints. So the World War II generation was the silent generation. These are your boomers because their parents came home from the war. And the American population exploded. Baby boomers defied their parents, protested the Vietnam War. And there's a lot of rebellion that happened in their generation. So what I want you to see is that a lot of times while I'm describing this, there are going to be negative patterns that you see, and there's a lot of positive patterns. But they were the generation that they were bold. They began to be bold, and a lot of them resisted. Now let's talk about Generation X. I'm part of this generation. If you're born in Generation X, you were born between 1965 and 1980.
All right.
Generation X parents were famously the first to use helicopter parenting styles. Unlike their boomer parents, who famously let their kids stay out outside until the streetlights came on, Generation X parents have a tendency to be far more involved with their children's social and educational development. And I'm going somewhere with this. I'm just describing the generations that you may see in this present church today. Well, a lot of times, being Generation X, I get on to my kids because they don't have a clue about, for example, when's the last time you had teenage kids walk from one distance to another? Well, it would almost be unheard of. But that's the way we got around when I was a kid. That's the only way we got around. And maybe if you had a little bit of money, you had enough money for a bus ticket. And maybe if you had a little bit more money, you had a decent vehicle. But so I find myself being upset because I want them to have this innate ability to be individualized or empowered, but they don't necessarily, they're not from my generation, so they can't quite understand what I'm trying to tell them. But yet, I have to realize that they're a product of me because I created that. So on the one hand, us Generation Xers, we don't, we went through all sorts of things, and we who are parents, we have provided for our kids in a way because we don't want them to experience some of the things that we've experienced. So we try to protect them. Right, we try to hover them. We try to make sure that they're empowered. We still have doses where we try to teach them for themselves. We want them to know for themselves. But ultimately, a lot of times, the very same spoiledness that we identify in them, the very same things that we created in them, right, because we were trying to protect them. So it's I'm learning about myself with this. Okay, millennial generation, or Generation Y. These folks were born between 1981 and 1996. Millennials lived through 9/11. Remember when Amazon only sold books? And are also the first generation to know a childhood both with and without the internet, which now plays a significant role in their personal lives. While boomers may accuse millennials of being self-centered and entitled due to their excessive use of technology, this generation has proven to actually be incredibly community-oriented and environmentally conscious, which are traits that are being picked up by their children in the next generation. I even see memes online. Those of you who are about my age or a little bit younger, you know how we were brought up. Now, if you were looking outside, you can't see the view from where I'm looking at across the street. I'm even looking at the playground. Now, look at this nice plastic, these plastic playground equipment. Well, we didn't go through that. We had metal. Yeah, sure. The sun would shine on that metal, and you would go through. We were like barbarians. And, oh, and you had a bike. Oh, the pedals of that bike weren't plastic. It was some sort of metal material, and it wasn't just a line. It had curves, like it was a cheese grater of such. And when it hit your shins, woo! When you were trying to, some of y'all are feeling it right now. So even I think what we have learned, what we're learning is all these generations are different. Generation Alpha, these are folks who are born after 2000. Generation Alpha is the first generation of kids who will never know a time when social media did not exist. And they are far more technologically savvy than any generation previously, which is a powerful tool that can change humanity in a myriad of positive ways. One thing I do and have learned to appreciate about the upcoming generations, like Generation Y and Generation Alpha, these folks, I've noticed, this is the description, maybe you've noticed this in your own family, these babies that are being born, they may not have even learned how to talk yet, but I bet you they know how to navigate some apps when you give them an iPad.
Right.
It is incredible the amount of knowledge that they get. They know this language of how to navigate apps and technology more than any that I've ever seen. And while we may criticize a lot of these generations for being kind of spoiled, well, the one thing that I do appreciate from them is this is the generation that tends to speak up and advocate for other people. I do appreciate that. They're the first ones to say if something is unjust or unfair. They've learned to say that, where us in the older generation are like, wait a minute. Now you better just don't rock the boat. Now you got a job. Now you want to keep that job. You just do what you got to do to keep that job. Where the new folks will say, wait a minute, that's not right. And they're more prone to say something. Why am I saying this? Because we're all different. And I'm just going to briefly, I didn't give the Deacon Don this anyway. I'm going somewhere with this. So you might say, well, what does that mean for us, Brother Choke? What I want you to see is that we're all different.
Yes.
We're a one church. And I'm not talking just about Mount Calvary. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ.
Right.
We are one church, but look how different we are. But yet we're the same.
Yes.
Yet we're the same.
Yes.
I'm also thinking about learning styles. I train. My job is I train case managers. I train people. Sometimes I train therapists. I train them on communication styles, and it's fascinating to me. There are four different learning styles that I normally train. Again, I'm going somewhere with this. Right now I'm talking about culture, and then we'll get right into the word, amen?
Amen.
But a lot of people, if you ever wonder, a lot of people, there's four different ways people recognize learning. A lot of people are visual learners. That's why we have PowerPoints, that's why we have a screen, because we recognize and we understand that some people learn better by seeing. If I see the words, if I see the image, I'm better to understand and retain the information. Well, some of us are like, hey, that ain't me. you can show me all day long. I still can't retain that information, because others are auditory learners. I remember when studying for my state exam to become a therapist in the state of Oklahoma, I didn't really know what type of style I was, so I just tried all of them. And I realized that I was an auditory person. So I would reread my notes that I studied. I would record myself. And when I had to make when I was traveling at 3 hours at a time, I would listen to, it was horrible, y'all. Whenever you listen to yourself for that amount of time, it's not right. Yeah. But I would listen to myself reading those notes, because I recognized that I was an auditory learner. So some people, if they hear it, they retain it easier, okay? Other people are kinesthetic learners. That means they actually have to do it, they have to mimic it. Well, you can tell somebody how to change a tire, you can show them a picture of a flat tire, you can even walk them through verbally on how to change a flat tire, but some of us are not gonna learn how to change a flat tire unless they actually have to change a flat tire. Those are your kinesthetic learners. Some of us learn like that. And isn't that wonderful how God knows this as well? Sometimes we're teaching something, but who better to teach than to somebody who's actually been through that situation themselves?
Right,
amen?
Right, right.
And the last type of learner is a tactile learner. When you're learning, you actually have to give them the document. You're the note card person. You actually physically have to have the book. You're not a Kindle person. You are a textbook person. You know, I don't want that Kindle. I want a book. I want to hold the pages. I want to flip the pages. I want to hold something. And that way, you're able to learn a little bit easier. And those are other differences. Other differences, I talk about other differences of communication. Some of you are telephone people like myself. If you ever want to get in contact with me, just call Brother Pope. Brother Pope, I'll pick up and say hello. That's the way you can contact me. I'm a Generation Xer. But these new folks, and again, no criticism, you can't get a hold of them. I could call my younger brothers all day long, call them, and I say, how rude. And I call my mama, and I said, Mom, that's rude. My brother didn't pick up. She said, Son, don't worry about that. He doesn't pick up for me either. But if you text him, immediate response. Have you ever noticed that? Because people communicate on different ways. So then you have your internet people, your email people, your text, and then you have the face-to-face folks. They say, you know what, I don't want a phone call, I want to see you face-to-face. What am I trying to say is that we are all different. We've come from all walks of life. We have come from all generations. We have come from all these different experiences, all these separate experiences, all these ordeals. Some of us have been on the mountaintop. Others have been in the valley. Some of us are still in the valley and are still on the mountaintop. Some of us are traveling through some weeds and we got poison ivy. Others are in the cold tundra. We've been through all these different things, all these different areas, all these different geographical locations, all these different types of things. But the one constant that we have today is Jesus Christ. Somebody shout
hallelujah.
So no one generation is better than the other. It's easy to criticize one another. It's easy to talk down on one another. But the truth of the matter is, every generation has something. And you might say to yourself, well, I don't fit in any generation. Brother Pope, you read my timeline and I don't fit in. Like I said at the beginning, you necessarily don't have to be that. But perhaps you identify from somebody who's in a different timeline. What I'm trying to tell you today, saints of God, is in the church, even if you lack a certain quality, even if you lack a certain strength, even if you lack something, you just stay here long enough and God will supernaturally give you something where you can go higher, where you can gain strength, where you can be the person that God ordained for you to be. But you got to come to church. You got to stay in prayer. We got to keep keep fasting. We got to keep reading our word. We will not get where we need to be if we don't do what we have to do. And that's what brings me to my scriptures. The church warriors, y'all. We warriors around here. In 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Since I have so many scriptures, I'm just going to go ahead and read rather quickly. Then we can go ahead and be dismissed. Amen? 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, verse number 37. This was King David, y'all. He was a shepherd. And this was right before he battled Goliath. Goliath was a giant. He was a giant. And it says, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord will be with thee." So David recognized, I've been through a battle or two. I may not be a king yet. I may not have attained all these other things yet, but I was faithful with what the Lord had given me. God had given David the office of a shepherd, and that was his job. Some of us are struck on titles. Don't you know, you want to have that job, you want to make all that money, you want to be somebody, you want a name, you want a street corner named after you, you want a library named after you. You're not going to get there until you do the basics and do what you're supposed to do. What if you can't find a job and the only job that's available is you got to work at McDonald's, you got to flip a burger, you got to go back, well, I'm not flipping no burger. What if you have to work at White Castle? What if you have to work for the Salvation Army and jingle a bell? What if you have to do that? Are you too proud to start from the beginning? God is calling for somebody who's not looking at pride, who's not looking at fame, who's not looking at prestige. God is calling for somebody in spirit and in truth. Sometimes you just got to do what you've got to do. And I know you may be a generation X or a generation Y, and you may say, "I've never been here before. I don't know how to do that. Everything that I have has been given to me. I don't know how to pull up my bootstraps. I don't know how to do things for myself." But God will give you the know-how. God will empower you to do things that you've never done before. God will empower you to say things that you've never said before. Somebody shout hallelujah. And the priest said in 1 Samuel, the 21st chapter, the 9th verse, remember, David had to defeat the bear and the lion first. Even though he was anointed, before the giants, before the nations, before he was king, he protected the sheep. And he defeated a bear and a lion.
Right.
Somebody say number one. Let's talk about number two. 1 Samuel 21st chapter, verse number 9. And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it me." So the priest had collected the sword of Goliath that David received after David beat Goliath. There are some things in your spiritual walk that we're not ready for yet. We want it. We want this. We want that. We want to be where the pastor is. We want to be where he is. We want to be where Elder Campbell is, or Elder Gentry, or First Lady. We want to be where they're at. But you just got saved yesterday. The first thing is first, you've got to endure what God has given you now. And so King David never would have gotten the sword of Goliath to defeat the nations if he wouldn't have beat Goliath previously. He never would have beaten Goliath previously if he wouldn't have protected the sheep from the lion and the bear.
Right.
Many of us, we start a job today, we want to be the manager tomorrow.
Okay.
It doesn't work like that. I'm not that familiar with the military, but I know this much. If you just start today as, what do they call it, a private, you're not going to be a sergeant or in charge of anything tomorrow unless there's a dire need for you to do that. But most of the time, you've got to earn those stripes. You've got to earn that respect. And you've got to sacrifice more. Well, what did Jesus say? If you want to be like me, you've got to serve. the greatest among you shall be the least. Remember? What did he do? He washed the disciples' feet.
Right.
Now, let's bring it to the New Testament, and I'm going to read a few scriptures. There was a great dearth in the land. A dearth is meaning that there was a time in the early church when Jerusalem went without food. Remember, the Jews before this, the Jewish people and the Gentiles, there was a lot of divisions. Even before the day of Pentecost, there were a lot of divisions. Even after Pentecost, Peter didn't even want to eat with the Gentiles. He didn't even want to eat with those. He didn't want to eat like that. He didn't want to eat with those people because they were different until God had to show him a better way. So let's look what happened. In Acts the 11th chapter, verse number 28, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So look at this, one church. You have Gentiles, you have people in the Gentile community. There's a prophecy that's given. That Jerusalem is going to be without food. Judea is going to be without food. So they begin to plan. They begin to organize. They begin to prepare. And they begin to help the people that were in Judea. It didn't matter what their ethnicity was. It didn't matter what their background was. It didn't matter what their differences was. But all that mattered was that there was a need. And yet today we see ourselves in the same situation. We're surrounded by all sorts of generations. Silent generation, the booming generation, Generation Xers, Generation Ys, the Alphas, the after 2000. And yet it doesn't matter, because all we need to know is if there's a need, our job is to help to fill it.
Amen.
That is the will of God. And through all of us trying to fulfill these needs, what are we showing? Love. That's what sets us apart from the world. We show love.
Right.
We show love.
Right.
We show love. And I thank God for that. And in verse number 30, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Before Paul's missionary journeys, before Paul did this and Paul did that, a lot of people will say, okay, he was known as Paul once he received his conversion. I don't really see that. It could be. I'm not really stuck on that. But what I know here is I believe that they begin to acknowledge him by a different name when he began doing different things. Amen. But notice, Barnabas and Saul had to fulfill a need. It wasn't about who preached this and who preached that, who stood here, how many got this much money, how many got that much money. There was a need. Saints, there's so many needs around us. God has called us to fulfill those needs. Fulfill needs. There's needs all around us in our communities, in our homes, in our church. Let's do this with love. Let's fulfill these needs.
Right.
In Acts the 12th chapter, verse number 24. Now let's sneak peek. Let's catch up to where Paul is later here. In verse number 24, but the word of God grew in multitude. In verse number 25, in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. So after they did their work, and when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So I just want to acknowledge that they did a work. The work that they set out to do, they did it. But notice, it was a work in the ministry. Well, I want you to pick up, somebody said, well, you need to pick up paper around here. Maybe you see some trash or something that needs to be picked up. I ain't picking up no trash. But maybe that's what God is calling you to do. God has called us all to do it because there is a need. Maybe we should call our loved ones, maybe the loved ones in this church that we don't see regularly. I ain't calling them, they ain't calling me. But God has called you to do it because there's a need that needs to be met. And in Acts, my last set of scriptures in Acts the 13th chapter, let's see what happened with them. In Acts the 13th chapter, verse number 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucian of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. We are the church warriors. This is how we grow. This is how we have our education, because we have a spiritual education. But the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. The foundation of the church is Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone with the prophets and apostles. But I want to thank God today that we are the church warriors. If there's a need in our community, we can take it to the Lord. He fights our battles. We don't fight our own battles, and we depend completely on the Lord. Sometimes we go through certain situations, and you may not have the solution for what you're going through, because the key rests in another individual who has not yet testified. And once they testify, you'll have the key to unlock yourself to go to the next level, to get something that you didn't have. But you'll never get that testimony if you don't come to church. You've got to do the basics. I need somebody who's not afraid to start from the beginning. I know I'm destined to be the manager. I know I'm destined to be a judge. I know I'm destined to be a mayor. I know I'm destined to be a bishop. I know I'm destined to be an elder or an evangelist, but first let me start here. Let me flip some burgers. Let me fulfill a need. Let me fix a flat tire. Let me pray for the sick. Let me give food to the hungry. Let me go visit those who are in prison. We are the church warriors. Nothing can stop us. The devil tries his best, but he's still a failure, according to the name of Jesus. All we have to do is proclaim the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. You are a church warrior.
Yes, sir.
You are a church warrior. I'm going through a battle. I've never been here before. I bet you somebody who has.
Right.
Bet you
right,
somebody
right,
else has.
Right,
But if you don't come to church, you're not going to get what they have to give you.
Right.
Saints, let's do what we have to do. Everybody wants to be big shots.
Yes.
Everybody's an apostle now. And again, I'm not knocking the person. Everybody's an apostle. And then when you can't go far, when you can't even go above apostle, now they've created super apostles. And after the super apostles, I wonder what's next. But we got to start from the beginning. We got to do what other people won't do. We got to pray, saints.
Yes,
we got to pray. Praying is exciting. Praying is adventurous. Praying is difficult sometimes. Sometimes it's easier at other times. But who are we if we don't pray? I know a firefighter by the clothing that he or she wears. When I see a fire truck, I say, that's a firefighter. Their job is to put out fires. When I see a mailman, a mailwoman, I see them distributing mail, I acknowledge and I recognize them by the clothing that they wear, by the transportation that they drive. That is their duty. But when somebody comes in the church, what are they going to see? A church that don't know how to pray?
All
again,
right.
This is not a Brother Pope, you meddling. No. I'm preaching. If someone should come in here and they should see us, what will they see? Will they see a church who can't pray? A church who can't read a Bible? A church who can't have love? That is not us, saints. We have love,
right,
and we need to show it. Today, if you're with us and you acknowledge, I want to be that warrior. I want to be what you're calling for today. I want to be that person. I want to make it. Won't you come now? Amen. Won't you come now here?